There was a call in Be Better where I spoke about giving. We spoke about, you know, as we reap, so shall we sow, and giving charity. And I referenced somebody by the name of Maimonides, who was a 15th century, I believe, rabbi and philosopher. And he spoke about the 8 degrees of charity. And he said the highest degree of charity, exceeded by none, is that of one who assists a poor person by providing him with a gift or a loan, or by accepting him into a business partnership, or by helping him to find employment. Then it goes on to say, the final part of the sentence is, in a word, by putting him where he can dispense with other people's aid. He says that is the highest degree of charity. Any thoughts about that? He's saying it is higher than standing in front of somebody handing them a $20,000 check or going to Haiti to help the victims of the latest disaster, giving somebody work so they don't need you anymore. That, he says, is the highest degree of charity. Do you guys agree with that, or does that not sound right?
You know what?
I don't know about that, because I went to Haiti to help people when they were in need, you know, right after the earthquake. And there were people who, without that intervention, would not have been able to fend for themselves at all. They would have died. So I don't necessarily agree with that.
Okay. Now, by the way, that would be charity, and that would be generous, and that would be wonderful and noble. He's just saying in the latter, it's not the highest. Pastor, what do you think?
Well, I agree with it, because it's sort of like paying it forward. You know, Tony, if there are other people there working that otherwise they were not able to have facilitated getting there, they weren't able to work to get there, they didn't have the talents that maybe you taught them, you've sort of like multiplied yourself by your charity, because you've given other people a reason to be charitable and to give and to help other people. So that I understand where it comes from. I mean, it's great to help people, but I've set this person to where they now can have worthiness and feel good because they're helping other people. They're able to be meaningful to other people and in their own lives.
You know, if you've ever studied philosophy, it's really difficult and frustrating, and it hurts your head because it's never black and white. Otherwise, we wouldn't have need for philosophers, because they read into something and they interpret it and they put a different spin on it. And when you look at, I don't want to get into the different degrees of charity, that's a totally separate conversation, but it is more charitable, according to Maimonides, to give anonymously than to give publicly. It is more charitable to give without being asked than it is to give generously when somebody asks you for it. And I think a part of it is there's a bit of a selfish agenda sometimes in giving charity. I mean, if Donald Trump stood up in front of the American Heart Association and handed them a check for $500,000, I don't think there's a person on earth who would think he's really doing this out of the pure goodness of his heart. That doesn't take away from the fact that it's charitable. And if Warren Buffett made the same donation but never told anybody that he made it, according to Maimonides, that would be a higher level of charity. So as you get into philosophy, there's this perspective of, you know, you go to Haiti and you help the people. And it's wonderful, Tony. Don't take this the wrong way. All of these are good ways of giving charity. But there's something about it making yourself feel good. So when you take another person and you put them in a position where they no longer need help, it's not so much that you feel good about it. It's much as Tasso said, you just created another generous entity. And imagine if everybody did that. You may not personally feel as good as if you go help victims, but imagine in the large scheme of things what you're able to do for the world by making that kind of difference. And there's no right or wrong here, as I said, otherwise we'd have no need for philosophers. Now, we're not specifically in the business of getting other people jobs, although for many years I did strive to privately excel in that area. But let's understand that there is a point during which our clients need us. There is a point during which our clients need us. So from the moment that you connect with somebody and they say, yes, I'm going to trust you, I'm going to trust that what you're telling me is true. I'm going to trust that the dollars that I give you will generate a fair value exchange. I'm going to trust that you're going to give a shit about me at some level. They're vulnerable. Because if you fail to give them the attention they're expecting, they're not going to get an outcome. So it's reasonable to say early on in the relationship, the client needs you. So here's a philosophy or kind of a philosophical question. Knowing that we're business people, do we always want to keep our clients in some position of need so that we keep them? Or do we really want to get them to a point that they don't need us anymore? This is not a question only of which is more noble, and we're not talking about charity now. We're talking about business. But is it better to bring somebody to the point that they give you a hug and go, thanks, I don't need you anymore, which is probably what every personal trainer would say, but it's not always the way they operate? Or is it better to always leave some level of need so that it's a good business decision? What do you think, Velma? Is it better to bring your clients to a place where they go, Velma, you're awesome, and I don't need you anymore? I know Tony has had some experiences with that, where a client came to his party, was going to another trainer, and basically said, hey, thanks, Tony. You really helped me. But he kind of resented at some level that he lost the client. So can you say, well, Tony was very wise in conducting his business that way because he did what we promised to do. He got that person to a level that they don't need him. Or would you say it's better business to always leave that little bit of need?
I think if you're training them in such a way where they're trusting you and you do get them to that point where they can go somewhere else, 9 times out of 10, they're not really going to want to. But as far as, like, a business decision, then I would say, you know, leave a little left so that they would continue to come to you. Like, give them a reason to want to continue to come to you. But be able to make the decision that if they should want to go somewhere else and get what they feel that they're not getting, you know, to be able to make a wise decision to choose a good trainer even after you.
Tony, rebuttal.
You know, it's a
you have 2 minutes, Mr. Trump. Go ahead.
Well, she's got to be arrested, that woman.
Lock her up. Lock her up.
I mean, for someone to say, I got my start, I owe it all to you, and I'm going somewhere else because of A, B, C, and D, it's really difficult to, you know, at least from my standpoint, to relinquish the resentment, the true resentment of, well, you know, so thank you and good. You said, it's almost like dating somebody and then you fall in love with them and they say, I learned so much with dating you, and now I can marry the person I really love. It's not.
You taught me love. Thanks a lot. See you later.
Exactly. You taught me how to love so I can love someone else because of you. And I think if there's a need there, the need should be different. It shouldn't be obviously the same need that when they first came in. And my philosophy really is more so to keep the door open so that if and when they make a decision that I need you again, that hopefully it's not for the same thing they needed in the beginning, and it's morphed so that the relationship has evolved, so it's something different.
Okay, that's a better explanation. I like that explanation. That's a good one. Open
now,
door policy.
Say something nice about my kids. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay.
Okay, but again, from a business perspective, what good is an open door if nobody's walking through it? Who else is here? I know we have people other than Tasso, Tony, Velma. Who else joined us? The quiet people in the back.
Tammy's here.
Hi, Tammy.
Really, we still have those people?
Hi,
yeah,
Tammy.
Yeah, we have those people. Tammy, any thoughts on it? Tammy?
Sorry, we're muted. No, not yet, because I just walked into the tail end of it.
Oh, okay.
It was about open door. That's what I heard at the end.
Okay. The question is, as business people, see, Tony, it's interesting because you're creating a metaphor when you talk about, you know, being in love with somebody for something that is personal versus business, right? So the difference is when we look at business as fair value exchange, it should be rational. People are making decisions emotionally, but you should run your business very rationally. And we talk about, you know, matters of love, those are purely emotion. So it's interesting because it reveals a part of our weakness is we take things personally. It's not just like we're selling an item and we lost a customer. It's a little more than that, right?
Yep.
But if it weren't so personal, then you would probably be able to distance yourself and say, what was I not offering? What was I not doing? What could I have done differently, you know, to keep this customer? But because it is personal, you get offended. And then it does become a little deeper than just a business decision.
Yep.
But if you try to bring it back to business, do you think there's something you could have done? Let me say it differently. Do you think you might have now, in hindsight, made a mistake that allowed that client to leave you and go to someone else? Because clearly they didn't think there was anything wrong with it. I mean, they showed up at your party.
Right. Yeah. And even I said, like, over the last couple of weeks when we were discussing this, that whole empath and parasite thing is, I think about it every day. I think about it every day. And it still continues to really resonate with me. And I don't know if that's part of it for this discussion here, but I know for me there's something there for sure.
Good. And it's a big part of everything. I mean, there's a reason that I share that. Yes, being in the middle is hard for us. You know, not being the parasite, not being the empath, but really being in the middle, that's a hard thing for us. And also recognizing that serving our clients, we want to get them into the middle so they don't become caught up as the individual, but they don't get too caught up in the group think either. So yeah, it's really relevant. But let's use a time period just for today's discussion of 6 weeks. Let's say that our initial connection with a client is 6 weeks across the board. Let's say that beginning now, we work off of a business model that gives us a 6-week opportunity to serve somebody and to be compensated for the service that we offer. So taking the question now a little more specifically, is it better to take somebody who is in need, get them to a point that they no longer need you in 6 weeks, and say goodbye going, yep, there goes another one, I did a great job? Or is it better for them to say at the end of 6 weeks, hey, this is really working, but I'm not where I want to be yet, so I still need you? And don't answer that yet, but just think about it. So now if we make it more finite, if we say it's a 6-week period, let's consider Maimonides' thought in the modern world. Suppose you teach a person to be a personal trainer. Suppose there's a person who's starving, homeless, has no money at all, and you teach them to be a personal trainer. Again, going back to the degrees of charity that I started with. And you give this person a loan so that they open their own personal training studio, and then they become successful and pay you back everything you loaned them. Do they need you at that point?
No.
Now, you hope, theoretically anyway, that they become a charitable person. So now what you have sown has brought multiplication of reward, paying it forward, right? That's what you hope, that this person appreciates it and goes, when I was down, somebody helped me, so now I'm going to help other people. That's charitable, and that's charitable in a way that grows, because at that point, they no longer need you. Now, let's suppose, though, that personal trainer decides they want to sell their business and they sell it for $200,000. Do they owe you any of the $200,000?
No.
No, right? Because they built that themselves. So you're paid on the loan. There was a fair value exchange. You should be very happy for them. But now suppose as a next step, they come to you and I'm going to say to Tony, they say, I would like to rent space from you. And you have this dead space in the corner. I just sold my business, so I walked away from my studio. I have nowhere to train people. I want to start to build again. So I'm going to rent this space that's earning you zero, and I'm going to give you $3,000 a month. Would that be a good deal for you?
I mean, it depends.
On what? I mean, the space is earning you nothing. They're now giving you $3,000 a month.
And the space is earning me nothing? Okay.
Right.
I would say yes.
Right. Tasso, would you take that deal if now you had the ability to kind of put up an extra wall now that you're going through this little bit of a renovation and they said, hey, this extra space here, we're going to give you $3,000 a month for it. You gave me my business. You gave me my livelihood. And now I'd like to kind of just pay you something, but I'm going to pay you something fair. I'm going to give you $3,000 a month for space that's earning you nothing. Would you think that's fair?
I think it's fair. I still don't know that I'd do it, though.
Why?
Well, because I find as people evolve, you know, in my model, if I ran a model that said, hey, I'm going to rent space to people, yeah, that'd be a great deal and it'd be a great thing to do. But I found in my model and my mindset, I don't do that. I tend to have the guidelines of how we develop our programs. So as people would evolve, they begin to develop their own philosophy, their own way of doing it. I don't know how he built his $200,000 business that he sold. So I wouldn't want it in conflict with my philosophy and actions and attitude that my business puts forth to create the culture that we have here.
Okay, so let me make this a little cleaner. Suppose he says, I will take a section of your place that's earning you nothing. I will build a door to the outside. So I'm going to have my own entrance, and I'm going to specialize in post-rehab. I'm not going to do anything with weight loss, fitness, functional training, only post-rehab. And when people finish my post-rehab, I'm going to send them to you. As a matter of fact, I'll even sign a non-compete that I will never go against your philosophy.
It's a sweet deal.
That's sweet in the pot, yeah.
Okay. So now at that point, assuming you go, yeah, hey, this is a good deal, does he need you?
No.
Doesn't need you, right?
No.
Yet you now have a value exchange. Why would there be this value exchange, and are you both benefiting from it? He doesn't need you anymore. So why would he be there? Because he's seeing value. He's going, you know what? I don't feel like starting a new space from scratch. I like Tasso. He helped me get started. I'd love to be able to hang out with him, go to lunch once in a while. This is a good deal for me. I know I could pay $3,000, pay the money to open the separate entrance, and I'm going to make $20,000 a month out of there. It's a good deal, right? So he doesn't need you, yet he's still connecting with you. And you don't need him, yet you're still connecting. So there is a fair value exchange that has nothing to do with need. In essence, you get to even. You get to the place where you're exchanging value and you're all walking away even. Nobody owes anybody. So there's the opportunity to continue to benefit each other without the original need. So let's consider the same thing with a client. Let's consider that in the first 6 weeks, they have a need. But let's assume we're going to do such a good job that at the end of the 6 weeks, they don't need you anymore. That doesn't mean they should go somewhere else. Now, what Tony's saying is, yeah, I agree with that, Phil. So I'm going to have an open door in case they want to stay. But I don't think that's aggressive enough. I think that's saying, fly away, butterfly, and I hope you come back. So I think it should be more than an open door. I think there should be encouragement to stay. But the only reason they should stay, because it's no longer need, right? Your past need. But as the example I just shared with you illustrates, it's possible to have a value exchange relationship where it's not about need. It's about benefit. So the question becomes, how do you leverage the relationship? So you shake hands and you go, yes, we're even. You paid me money. I ended your need. And now stay rather than go away, butterfly. And in my mind, that's the ideal. Ethically, that's the ideal. Morally, that's the ideal. Financially, that's the ideal. So today, I'm going to talk to you about giving away your service for less than you deserve. Now, you know this is not where I normally come from. But I want you to consider it at some level a contribution. It isn't a donation. It isn't charity. And you'll be paid, but not what you deserve. But I want you to consider it a contribution. I want you to consider that you're investing not in someone else, but in yourself. And I'm going to give you a very specific directive to ask somebody for money. And I'm really hoping every one of you step up. If you don't step up, I would do a little self-examination. Nobody's going to reprimand you, but I would really look at the reason why, because that's the smoke. If you're not willing to do what I'm asking you to do today, you're limited by what we've called smoke, this imaginary ceiling, the can't and the but. So I want you to understand my perspective. I want you to agree, if you really do, from a principle standpoint, and then I'd like to see if you're willing to take the action of asking somebody for money to provide the service I'm going to suggest. So here are two statements that may sound contradictory, but as we dig into them, you'll realize they aren't. Statement number one, we want to empower people so they don't need us. There are many personal trainers who will disagree with that. I don't think anybody in this group does. We want to empower people so they don't need us. Here's the second statement. We want to keep our clients as long as they find value in the benefit we offer them. Now, you'll notice there's a word missing from the second statement. That word is need. So we want to empower people so they don't need us. For 6 weeks, in the example I'm giving you, they need us. At the end of 6 weeks, we'd like them to not need us anymore, but we want to keep them. Not because we're greedy. Because we're running a business and our business thrives based on revenues and profits. So we're not going to be takers. We want to keep our clients, but here's the caveat, as long as they find value in the benefit we offer them. Tony, are you good with those two statements coexisting?
Very much so.
Velma, are you?
Yes.
Tasso,
so
I'm
you're
just...
saying that...
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Basically, we're moving them from a need-based to collaboration.
From a need-based, it's not really a collaboration. It's not like the two of you are working together. You're still serving them. You're still kind of in a servitude role, and they're the customer who's paying you.
Mm-hmm.
But they're paying you because they find benefit, not because they need you.
But the second is a mutual benefit.
Well, sure, as every business relationship should be.
Okay.
Right, so let's just say that somebody comes to you and they go, I am so fat, I can't get out of bed. Okay, I'm just kind of giving you an extreme example. And you go, okay, 6 weeks, we're going to get you to the point that you can get out of bed on your own without help. 6 weeks later, they go, this is great, I can get out of bed. They're still overweight, they're still very unhappy, they're still very unhealthy, but they don't need you anymore because in their mind, you solved the problem.
Right.
So now, if they go to a weight loss center, on a personal level, you'd be offended. But more importantly, on a business level, you would have just lost revenue.
Right.
So you'd have to look at that and go, why would they go there?
Yeah.
Because you solved the need, yet you didn't offer them a benefit beyond.
Okay.
Right? So, Tony, that's sort of what happened to you, is they saw you as playing a role. They said, Tony, you did a great job. You met that role. Now I'm going to go to a different trainer who's going to play a different role. And I think had they seen the next step in the benefit with you, it's not really a collaboration, but it's a fair value exchange. You're going, Tony, I want your service, man, and I'm going to pay you for it, but I have an expectation. My expectation is a benefit. Does that make sense, Selma?
Yes.
I'm suspecting Patrick is here, muted. Coach Terry, perhaps. Jason, are you here? There's some mysterious people back there. April? All right, mystery people.
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi, April.
Sorry, the mute.
It's always the mute. We always blame the mute. It's like it's the microphone. I wasn't sniffling. It was the microphone. I just want you to know whether you like Trump or like Hillary or like neither of them and are voting for the lesser evil, I think that the stand-up comedians and Saturday Night Live are having their best seasons ever because there is so much material here. It is just so good.
A lot. It's feeding it in.
All right, so let's imagine for a minute if we, 14 of us, really got together and did our best work. If we really got together and saw what we're capable of, we sat down in a room and said, how can we make the greatest change in this world? How great over the course of 5 or 10 years do you think that change could be, like the ripple effect? Do you think it would be insignificant, or do you think we could really do something major?
Ripple effect. I think we could do something major.
Major.
I think so, too. So there's no question we can make a change. We clearly have a flawed medical system. We clearly have a lot of people who are being taken advantage of. We have an environment that is toxic, and people are getting sicker than they need to. We have lots of people who are looking under the wrong rocks for answers. And if together we created that ripple effect and started disseminating the right information and showing some evidence and bringing about some change in people, I think over time it can have a major impact. But if you want to make a change, there's a three-step process that happens leading to manifestation, which would be the fourth, leading to the actual change. The first is thought. So in talking to you, as often as we talk, my intention is always to change the way you think. A little bit at a time, nudging the needle, getting you to think a little greater, getting you to recognize a little bit more about your true potential. So if we get to a change in thought, then we get to a change in action. I think we've seen that in Jason. He was really questioning, can he charge this much? Can he help people? And then once he started doing the live program, he started thinking differently. And when he started thinking differently, he started charging more, and it became easier. So different thought leads to different action. The different action must be followed by a response, because it's never magical. It's never like you take a different action and suddenly people line up at your door going, I want to give you $6,000. So you kind of get a feel for what the outcome is, and then you have to respond. And then you get the manifestation. So if we're going to bring about true change, we've got to start with a change in thought, a change in action, and then a response to what we experience. So that's what I want to prompt today, a change in thought, followed by a change in action. Then you guys will have an outcome. You'll respond to it. And from that point on, something will manifest, and you'll think differently. And when you get to that point that something manifests and you think differently, you then have a belief shift. So you might have thought you were worth $75 an hour. You change your thought. You change your action. You raised your rate. The response, the outcome was people happily paid it. So now you have a different belief. Now you go, I'm worth $100. And that's the way things progress. So from there, you'd need a greater thought and then a greater action and a greater response and a greater manifestation. And that's the way we build things. That's the way we move things forward. So let's start with the thought, I can help people. Velma, are you totally comfortable with that thought?
Could you repeat it, I can or I can't?
I can. I absolutely positively can. I am able to help people.
Yes, I'm comfortable with that.
With certainty?
With certainty.
Good, because there was a time I could have thrown you right off of that chair, but right now you're seated in there firmly, right? You're going, no, of course I can help people, right?
Oh, yeah, of course I can help people, yeah.
Okay, so now complete this sentence. I know this because?
I know this because I have done it in the past.
Tony, how about you?
I have proof.
Do you know you can help people?
Absolutely.
You know this because?
I have a history of helping numerous amount of people.
Okay. Are you being arrested right now?
That's
no.
me.
Oh, you're being arrested. Okay.
Not at this moment.
Tammy, do you know beyond all doubt that you can help people?
Yes. And
you know this because?
I do it on a daily basis.
Okay, so I'm going to put a little more squeeze on you because everybody has said that. So give me a real specific. I know this because. Give me a real specific example of somebody you've helped.
Let me see. I just got a bunch of testimonials. No, I can't pull them up. But,
well, don't think testimonials. You said you do it on a daily basis. So just if we're having a natural conversation, sitting at a table, and I go, well, give me an example. Who would come to mind?
Let's see. Melissa is one, the massage girl that works with us, that I train her. And
okay.
I've helped her to discover how to heal leaky gut and get her thyroid working by doing that.
Okay, so her thyroid wasn't working?
Well, she had it was low functioning, and
okay.
she had nodules on it. And so now the nodules are gone, her skin's clearing up, she has more energy on her biofeedbacks. They're coming back at normal range.
How do you know you helped her? How do you know she just didn't start eating differently or being happier?
Because she's told me, and then she's referred a lot of people to me.
Okay. So you have the evidence. You know that you can help people, right? This is not a question. Now, I know you guys will have a hard time believing this, but I would often sit down with personal trainers who can't answer this question. They all say, oh, yeah, of course I help people. I go, how do you know? Because I do. Well, give me an example. Lots of people. Who? My clients. And it goes on with no answer. I know you have a hard time believing that, because I did also. But they can't. Because there's a little bit of a facade. There's a little bit of, I'm doing my job by taking them through workouts. They wouldn't say that. But that's clearly the paradigm under which they operate. So you guys are different. You know you can help people. You really do. So Tasso, if you had to articulate the highest good that you could do for someone in need, how would you describe your ability to bring about change? If you could articulate the highest good, meaning not just, yeah, well, I helped somebody get off of medication, lose a few pounds, but the highest good, what do you think you could do for somebody that would be thought of as an extreme, but you know you could do?
I know I could give people their vigor, their life back by virtue of what we do through the programming of our triangles. I mean,
all right, let's create a person. Who is a person that would have that need to get vigor in their life back?
Well, I'll give you an example. I have a lady that had a stroke and a coma for 6 weeks, walked in here in a walker, and we started with what she could do movement-wise, and now she's back to normal strength training, playing golf. She's contributing out there because she's a major factor in a gala that raises $100,000 for homeless kids. We had a role in that. She wouldn't be doing that if we didn't take our principles that are, you know, evidence-based and go through and do those with her and bring her along and have her evolve through the whole process.
Okay, so if you had to turn her into a sort of a generality, and it not only specific to stroke, but what would you say? Who would be the person? How would you kind of categorize her type of person to say, you bring me that, and I'll give you somebody who has new vigor in their life?
I say it like this, Phil. I say, we take you where you're at, and we move you to where you want to be.
I'm looking for, and you gave me one. I'm looking for an extreme example. But now what I'm saying is she is one of a large group of people. So how would you categorize the large group of people? Maybe you would use the term physically compromised. Maybe you would use the term debilitated. Maybe you would say medicine left you in the lurch. You know, how would you sort of come up with a category where if you were striving for the highest good, where you say, give me these people, and I'm going to show you what I could do, and you're going to be blown away, what would that category be?
Give me the people that have failed to regain their health, and I'll help them.
Give me more than I'll help them. Give me something specific, because anybody could say I'll help them.
I mean, I would, you know, I'm so familiar with this group. I'd say, give me the people who have lost their health, have failed numerous times in getting in shape,
mm-hmm.
need guidance. And I will give them a plan that will restore their health.
Still got to be a little stronger. Anyone could give them a plan.
I will guide them to the pathway of reversing their chronic illness.
Anyone could guide them to the pathway.
I have a solution.
What will that solution do for them?
Revitalize their life, give them back energy, and give
okay.
them back.
That's good. Anything else? You see the difference between what you were giving me before and that? You're being specific now.
Right.
Right? Somebody who has failed to regain their health is going to now get back the vitalization of their life. They're going to feel vital again. Vigor is a word that you used earlier, right?
Yes.
If you think of that scenario, what could you guarantee over 6 months? Now, keep in mind, there are going to be a lot of different people on that spectrum. So if you made that claim, if you said, you give me anybody who's lost their health, who's tried and failed, and I'm telling you ultimately, I can give them back their vigor and their vitality. I can give them back their energy. And they say to you, what could you guarantee in 6 months? What would you guarantee in 6 months? Did we lose Tasso?
No, I'm trying to think to how you can give it to them in a manner that gives them, you know, I don't want to say, I guarantee you're going to feel more energy. You're going to want to do things in life. You're going to be able to have freedom in your life.
That's fine. Are you comfortable saying that?
Yeah.
You'd have no apprehension about somebody coming back going, I don't feel better. I don't feel more energy. You're certain that you could give them that.
Yes. Because they may not feel it because it occurs incrementally, but by doing the things we do when we start a person or a client, we can give them markers. I mean, if a person said to me, I don't feel better. You told me you didn't sleep at all at night. Do you sleep now? Yeah, I get some good nights of sleep. Is that more nights of sleep than you got than before? You know, do you wake up and get things done during the day that you didn't used to do? I mean, I'd want to have the specifics when they start. That's why we have those 26 pages,
mm-hmm.
you know.
So you added pages. You got 26. I only have 19. You got me beat.
Bigger print. I have older people.
So now, fill in the blank here. I know the value of this to be greater than, and give me a dollar amount. If you could take people who have lost their health, tried and failed, and within 6 months you know you can show them a significant change in energy, definitive improvement, what would the value of this be at a bare minimum? In other words, you know the value is greater, but you're just giving a bare minimum dollar amount that you could say without question people would be happy to pay this.
Now, Phil, to clarify it, is this something that I'm doing like we're done with this call, I'm going to market this. You say, Tom, so you need to make it so you bring as many people as possible in?
No, no. I'm just saying, what is it worth to them? Regardless, what is the outcome worth to them? You have a person who was very compromised, was going to different places, not getting help. They came to you. Now they have definitive change, more energy, more vitality. What can you comfortably say is a bare minimum of what this would be worth without question? A dollar amount. To them, for the outcome.
Well, it's priceless to them for the outcome.
But give me a real number that you'd have no hesitation saying to somebody, if you pay me this, here's what I'll do for you in 6 months.
$5,000.
Are you sure about that?
I think it's worth more, but you said...
I'm asking a bare minimum that you have no hesitation saying to somebody who falls into that category, if they're sitting in front of you, you give me $5,000, I will get you to a point that you're better, you have more vitality, you have vigor back, your energy has returned, and we look at all of these markers and we're going to see significant improvement. $5,000.
And I think that's below my value, but...
Okay, but so then you're comfortable with that number, right? If anything,
yeah.
It would be higher, but you're comfortable with that number.
Yeah.
Tony, how about you? I'm going to guess yours is a little lower, not because you're worth less, but I know you've had a little struggle with this question of what is it worth, kind of turning that into what you charge. So where would you place that number?
Where would I place the number? Still difficult for me, Phil.
Okay, if you had to say to somebody, if as of this moment in time, from now on, you had to say to every person who came in, listen, I'm going to help you. I know I can help people. What I help people do is get better, get healthier, get fitter, have more energy. But I'm going to say this right up front. It's going to cost you at least $100 over the 6 months.
Right.
Would you even break a sweat?
It's going to cost you
$100 over the 6 months.
Per session, you're saying?
No. I'm just saying $100.
Oh, no.
You'd have no hesitation. What about $1,000?
No.
$2,500.
So this is for 6 months.
This is for 6 months, but I don't want you to think about the time you'll spend, what they're going to do. I want you to think about the outcome. What is it worth to them? We get too hung up on... questioning what we're worth for our time. So even though you guys know that's an archaic concept, you're still stuck in it because it's been ingrained in you for so long. So I'm looking for a bare minimum that you'd have no apprehension saying, here's what you're going to give me, and here's the value exchange. Now, again, we're going to talk about the first 6 weeks being need. So just give me a number. What would be the bare minimum for them to achieve what you know you could do for them?
I mean, 5,000 is a good starting place.
5,000. Okay. Now let's think about this. Suppose instead of 6 months, we made it 6 weeks. Now I don't want you to think of a number yet. Let's use that 5,000 and put it aside for now. If somebody is paying you for an outcome, if somebody has no fingers on their right hand and they go, my goal is to have fingers on my right hand, five of them. And you go, okay, it's going to take you 6 months, and you're going to give me $5,000. And we know that would be worth it. If you gave it to them in 6 weeks, would it be worth any less?
It'd be worth more.
Right. So what if we changed it to 6 weeks? Does that change the number?
Yeah.
Now, you know that you could ask somebody, based on what you told me, for $5,000 for a six-month program that will make them better. You know you can do that.
Right.
Could you ask them for that number for a six-week program?
Yeah, when you put it that way, sure.
Tasso?
Yes.
Okay, that sounded a little tentative. Velma?
I was going to say $10,000 when you said 6 months. But I don't know if I can ask for that.
So
like
let's say with 5,000.
Okay, yeah, sure.
So now let's make this really absurd. If I change that number to $600. $600 for a six-week relationship, knowing that they are in need in that 6 weeks, knowing that they need you. This is not an option at this point. Once they connect, they need you. They can't do it on their own, or they would have. Could you easily ask for $600? I'm not asking you to say these words, but it would be in line with this line of thinking. Listen, Debbie, I am promising you over the next 6 weeks, I could bring you new vitality. You will absolutely lose some fat. Your energy will improve. Your sleep will be better. All of the markers and symptoms that we looked at are going to improve. But I'm going to tell you this, it's not free. Over the next 6 weeks, you're going to have to pay me $600. How does that sit with you guys?
Too low.
Selling yourself short.
Right. So if you had to do it, you could, right? I mean, there'd be no apprehension about that low number. Or would there? Does anybody even feel uncomfortable with that? Going, nah, I don't know. Does anybody feel a need to sort of break it down? How many sessions? How much time?
Yeah,
or would everybody really feel comfortable saying, 6 weeks, you're getting me, I'm getting you well, $600. Who will be honest enough to admit they even have some apprehension about that? Who will be bold enough to say they have absolutely no apprehension? It's almost ridiculous to talk about this.
I would say that. That's where I am right now.
So here's the assignment. I want you to find one person before our next call that is not a client now. Who has a need. Not an option, not a let me try you against another trainer, but who has a need based on the questions I asked earlier. Tasso answered, but I'm sure you had your own answers. In Tasso's case, it would be somebody who has lost their health, has tried, failed with different attempts. Tasso, do you think you could find one person between now and our next call that you can offer to help, that falls into that category?
Well, I lost a call for a minute, Phil. I had to call back in, so I don't know what ultimately became of the six-week program that we were asking $5,000 for. So I came back in when you said something about $600.
I chose a very low number. If $5,000 is something you believe is the value, or at a bare minimum, I'm saying that if we make it $600, there's no price concern at all, right? If we say, I'm giving you a six-week program that will make you better, that will give you back the vigor and all the things that you said, Tasso, and it's going to cost you $600. My question was, would you have any apprehension about that? And I think the unanimous answer was no.
Right. No, I wouldn't have any apprehension, and I could get several people by then.
Okay, so no problem getting one. I'm not asking you to get several. I'm asking you to get one.
Yeah.
Velma, can you?
Yes.
So I want you to reach out to your circle of influence, and I don't want this to be feel like hardcore marketing. I don't want it to be like you're selling something. In fact, I want it to be completely the opposite. I want you to say something like, I'm looking to help someone who has struggled with their weight, who might have been diagnosed with one or two chronic conditions, and is perhaps on a couple of medications. Now, if we just said that, that person would be very easy to find. I mean, you just park in front of Walgreens. You're going to find that person in 30 minutes. Go into a pharmacy and, grocery stores now have pharmacies. Target has a pharmacy. Just look at the people. So I'm looking to help someone who has struggled with their weight. I want this to be a part of it. I want weight to be a part of it. Who might have been diagnosed with one or two chronic conditions and is perhaps on a couple of medications. But I don't want you to stop there. I want you to qualify it further. But it has to be someone who can tell me clearly what they'd like to achieve and why they've been frustrated by their perceived inability to perceive to achieve results. You want to find somebody who's been disappointed by, I'll say, the words of their physician. Whether the words were, just take this medication, or there's no cure for that, or it's no big deal, you could live with it. But I think many people on every single day are disappointed with the words they hear their doctor say. Because what the doctor doesn't say is, I'll get you well. That's what they want to hear, but it's not what they hear. Or someone who feels as if they fell short in their attempt to get better. So what you don't want somebody who hasn't made an attempt. That's not what you want. You want somebody who has that element of desperation. Somebody who has that sense of, as Tasso said earlier, I tried and I failed. Either my doctor disappointed me or the attempts I've made disappointed me. So I would like you to find one person. Now, I don't think the best route is to do this through your clients. I'm going to tell you why. Because your clients are probably paying you more than this person will. And this is why I said earlier, this is going to be a contribution and investment in yourself, in understanding the processes, changing the thought, having a greater thought than a greater action, then responding, then having a greater outcome, then a greater thought. So we're going to start that ball rolling. So what I want you to do is recruit somebody you don't know to pay you $600 for a six-week program. Now, as I said at the beginning, if you're not willing to, there's some smoke that you haven't addressed. If you're not willing to do this, and by the way, if you're thinking the reason I won't do it is $600 isn't enough, that's fine. Make it $1,000, whatever you want to charge. It's a number that is so believable by you in terms of value that it doesn't cause a knot in your throat. I want you to take away the money concern on your end. I want it to just come right out of your mouth because it is so worth it, it's ridiculous. So I'm coming up with $100 a week because I don't think there's anybody who, if they believe you're at any level professional enough to make a change, would say no. We'll try to negotiate that. So I'm not asking you to be worthless. I'm just asking you to do this action to change your thinking. Do this action to change your belief. Do this action to get somebody to say yes. But it has to be somebody you don't know. That's the key to changing the thought process, is creating this from zero, creating a new customer, creating a value exchange, knowing that you're worth more, and then bringing about the change.
Well, can it be former clients that maybe did not do as well as you wanted them to do?
I would prefer not, only for the sake of former clients, you should charge more. They already know you. Why would you discount it? You're suddenly lowering your perception of your value. This should be somebody who was a stranger. So that's why I'm saying, you know, talk to your friends, your business associates, the people in the stores you go to, put the word out. I don't even care if you make up. You know, one of the tricks I learned in marketing is business cards. I used to make business cards for everything. Like when I was looking to hire an employee locally, and I don't mean a personal trainer, I mean like a front desk person, I would make up business cards. They cost me, I think, $19 for 1,000. I'd make up business cards, and the business card said, I'm looking for a cheerful, cheerleader-like, responsible person to work at the front desk for $12 an hour. And everywhere I'd go, I'd go into GNC, I'd give it to the guy behind the counter. I'd go, hey, if you have any friends. You know, I'd go in the food court, I'd give it out to people behind every counter, if you have any friends. And by the time I got back, I had phone calls already. So I don't even care if you make up business cards, just so you could easily hand it out, going, I'm looking for one person who... I don't want you to, you know, turn this into social media marketing or a major ad. This should be so simple. If you're complicating it, that's your smoke. There's no reason to. So give me some feedback and thoughts on your willingness to do this, because I would really like to see everyone do this. If you want to give me reasons why you don't need to, then I would say then you should be charging $6,000 now. If you're not charging $6,000 now, then you need to.
I mean, I'm actually really interested in seeing about, you know, what kind of approach, because this is, you know, new territory, but what kind of approach would be, you know, would be with work. And it's really approaching people in a different manner than I'm accustomed to, so this sounds really interesting to me.
Yeah, I'm going to just mention something. I don't know if it's appropriate, but I'm going to. So if I have to reel it back in, I will. But I had a conversation with a friend about somebody we know. And this is a woman. She's a mother. She's a single mom. And she gets herself into these horrible relationships where she's taken advantage of. I mean, again and again and again. And she started a whole new job in a whole new place where she didn't know anybody. And it was kind of an opportunity for a fresh start. And she got herself into the same kind of relationship. And it's really weird because it's not what she does. It's sort of what she puts out. In other words, she doesn't go seeking guys who will take advantage of her, but there's something about the way she carries herself, about the way she looks at people, something. I don't know what the something is. But I think people get stuck in a place where it's not language. It's just something that has a mind-spirit element to it, that they keep attracting the same things. That, you know, you take somebody who wound up getting fired from their job, and they got fired from a job, and you get them a fresh start, you move them somewhere else, and they get fired from their job. And you go, did you steal? No. Did you? I don't know what it is. It's just, I'm sure you've seen that in people, where they, somehow they have to make a shift. And this is what I mean by this whole idea of transgenesis, is you got to change something on the inside to radiate something better. And that's what I'm looking to do with you guys, is get away from this idea that there's any apprehension in offering a six-week program for $6,000. So we have to start with this. We have to start with you willing to tell a stranger that they're going to work with you and you're going to bring about a change and they're going to pay you. We have to start with that. Once we get there, then it becomes simple to simply escalate the price. So, Tony, I'm glad you're excited about it, because that's what we're doing here, is you've got that kind of limit, and this is how we're going to break through it. So let's just get to a point where, okay, you're going, the price is not an issue right now. Let's see if I can handle the rest. Let's see if I can make a change where I'm just willing to say to somebody, come commit to me for 6 weeks. I'm going to get you better. And once you can do that, now we know the only thing that's limiting you from charging $6,000 is your perception of the price. So anyone other than Tony have a thought about this? Any of the quiet people? One person who has a need, who has some struggle with weight, not somebody who has 50 pounds and more to lose, because they're not going to see a radical change in 6 weeks, but somebody has some struggle with weight, might be, have been diagnosed with a condition or two, is on one or two medications, has tried some things and felt frustrated. Anyone else have a thought on this? Just commit to work with them for 6 weeks for $600. Velma, you good with this or no?
Well, I'm trying to think where I would go to find such a person. Like, where I could position to find, to ask questions.
I'm wondering where I stop at one person, Phil. I mean,
what's
I,
that?
I just,
I'm good with the one person. I definitely know I can do one person.
Tasso, I don't want you to get more than one, because the second one you're going to charge more, and the third one you're going to charge more. But I want you to get this one at $600, just one. It becomes almost a guinea pig promotion, but it's for a different reason. It's for you to get past any fear that you may not recognize as fear. Velma, how many people do you know who are not your clients? More than 10?
Yes, quite a few.
Okay, more than 30?
We're in the hundreds, actually.
Okay. So talk to 30 people and just say, hey, if you know anybody, I have an opportunity right now. I'm really looking to help people who normally I wouldn't come in contact with. And I have a program. It helps people who are struggling with their weight. You know, many of them have been diagnosed with a condition and they've been put on a medication. I just want one person who really is motivated. Do you know anybody who could benefit from this? And just ask 30 people or so.
Okay.
I would guess if you asked even 10 people, you'll get 10 people. Because everyone knows somebody like this.
I'm going to ask 30 people.
Okay, but only take one.
That's how it's going to turn out. Okay.
And it's not that you turn the others away. It's that you go, right now my schedule is full. Like once you get your one Tasso, say, right now my schedule is full, but of course I have the opportunity to help you. Just give me your number, and I'll contact you as soon as I'm available. Okay, this is marketing 101. It's just doing it in a way that we know we're going to escalate. $600 for 6 weeks. Absurdly affordable. I just want you to ask for it, and I want them to say yes.
What if I'm asking for more than that already, Phil?
As I said earlier, if you're comfortable with a higher number, use that number. I want you to choose a number that you just have no apprehension about. So if you're asking for more, then ask for whatever you're comfortable asking for. I don't want to limit you. I just want to get people away from this idea that the price is the problem. I want you to connect fully on need so you take away the apprehension of the price. The reason I told you the story of the girl who, you know, attracts the wrong people, because if you yourself have this idea that it's not worth $5,000 or whatever you want to ask for, then you put something out there. It's not tangible. It's not words. It's just something that's uncomfortable. And you tend to attract those people who are going to go, no, I need to shop around. No, I'm going to try something else. You know, no, I'm not ready now. No, maybe after the holidays. So that's why I want to take that away. So Tasso, if your number is 1,500, 2,000, whatever the number is, but I want it to be such a safe number that you can't go, oh, it was the price. Good, or are you still sort of kind of having a hard time with this?
The only thing I'm having a hard time with is you know, I'm...
Tasso, I don't want you to do this instead of what you do. I want you to do this in addition to what you do. In other words, if you were going to get five clients in the next week, I want you to get six. You know, I don't want you to take away from what you do.
Right.
This is a stranger who you wouldn't have had otherwise.
Right.
I know that conceptually you will agree with me that changing somebody's life in the way you're capable is worth $6,000. But I also know you're not at the point that you're asking for it and getting it, so I'm going to get you there. So this is, you know, this is the first square. So absurdly affordable, that's what I'm looking for. So I want you to ask for it. Okay, now, in exchange for that $600, which I want them to pay up front, you will do a three-hour intake. And following that intake, you will do 1 hour of direction with them in line with week one of Alive. So if you're not familiar with week one of Alive, it's a 9-minute workout. It's simple poses. It's the windmills, releasing the lymphatic system. It's breathing from the diaphragm. It's doing some push-ups. So this is why I want there to be nothing that makes you feel like you're charging too much. So as soon as they pay you that $600, they're now connecting with you for 3 hours of intake, 1 hour of direction, and then they're doing the routine on their own for the first week. The second week, you sit down with them, and they go, I'm feeling more energy, and they'll all say that. Just because they took in more oxygen and they started moving lymph. They're all going to say, I feel more energy, and they're going to be ready to do more. And you're going to say, okay, you're going to do more, but only 3 minutes more. And they're going to say, well, what if I want to do more? You're going to go, don't. You got to trust me. I'm going to guide you through the whole 6 weeks. And then you're going to go to what would be week two of the Alive program, where you change things just a little bit. Instead of just a mountain pose where they're standing with a neutral spine, they're now standing on one leg. They're going into an anterior reach. They're starting to develop balance. They're starting to develop greater proprioception, greater interplay between the agonists and the antagonists. You're not asking them for any more money. They've paid now. The third week, now it's a progression to take them to the functional six and the all-out bursts. I want you to understand the value of this. You're not starting them here. They've gone through 2 weeks of changing the way they eat, of listening to you, of trying to sleep more, of understanding the balance between stress and recovery. And now getting them to the functional six and the all-out burst is a progression. And from that point on, I don't want you to complicate it with any more exercise. Now, you could argue with me. You can go, no, I certainly want to start to involve some other things. But I would say, why? You're paid $600. Look how much value you're giving them. So what are you going to do for the next 3 weeks? This is so simple. Please don't overcomplicate it by asking me questions. It is so simple. I promise you know how to do this. I call it circadian nutrition. Circadian nutrition because it works within natural rhythms. 10, 7, 4. What you're doing is so very simple, you could do it in a state where you're half asleep. But the value is so great that I want you to feel almost embarrassed that you did it for only $600. So week one, it's a 9-minute routine. Week two, it's a 12-minute routine, a little bit of a progression. Week three, it's the functional six followed by all out bursts. From that week forward, they stay with that routine, increasing resistance, increasing speed, increasing time. But they stay with that routine. We're not complicating anything. The value is not in the creativity. The value is not in how complicated the program is. The value is in the outcome. I'm giving you a surefire path to a thrilling outcome. So now, after week three, you're going to still spend an hour with them. And you might modify the intensity a bit. You might say, let me see how you're doing that squat curl press. Okay, great. Now I want you to go up on one leg on every other rep. You know, instead of using 5 pounds now on the seated side front lateral raise, we're going to go to 10-pounders. But I don't want you to change the exercise routine. Because, again, that's the flawed thinking, that there's value in the creativity of the routine. There isn't. Most personal trainers think there is. There isn't. There's no value in that, unless it's going to bring about a better change. But there's no value in the session if the session is only for the sake of giving them new exercises. This is part of the reason people don't get results. This is part of the reason they stay with a trainer for 4 sessions and never come back. Because they're not understanding the value is in the outcome. They'll say that, but they don't get it. You guys get it. So you got to get away of that old stale thinking that is not even conscious for you, but it's buried in there. So after the third week, you're still meeting them now, an hour a week. But you're talking to them. You're asking them a lot of questions. They're talking to you. They're telling you how they feel. They're telling you what's different. And you're coaching them through what I'm calling circadian nutrition, which I trademarked, by the way, 10-7-4. So now they're going to do 10 days of supportive eating. At an ideal, they will only eat foods that are organic. Now, we know that that's not realistic for most people, but if we set that as an ideal, they'll make some better choices. They're going to get combinations of proteins and good quality energy substrates. 3, 4, 5, 6 times a day for some. But 10 days of that. So there's no hunger. Their energy is great. And now we're going to 7 days of a caloric stagger. Protein day, supportive eating day. Protein day, supportive eating day. Protein day, supportive eating day. They're starting to release more fat. The first day, they get a little hungry, and after that, they just adapt to it. I promise. You've got to coach them. You've got to tell them how to do a protein day. You have to give them enough options. Now they're going to come back to you for the 6th session. And you're going to say, on this last week, the last 4 days of the 6 weeks, you're going to do a type of fasting. You're getting up in the morning, you're having organic lemon squeezed into warm water. The first day, you'll probably be hungry, but you'll be shocked that from that point on, you won't. The second feeding of the day, I don't know that we call it a meal, is a smoothie made up only of fresh organic vegetables and maybe one or two fruit if you need it for taste. So that means you're not actually having a meal until sometime after noon. Ideally, you'll only eat between 3 o'clock and 7 o'clock. I want you to get some good essential fats. I want you to incorporate some coconut oil. And I want you to make sure you get ample servings of protein in every meal. And if you can do that for 4 days, just stay within that window, then I'm not even going to tell you to look at the size of your meals. I'm going to ask you to just eat when you feel like it within that 4 hours. The next day, you wake up, you have your lemon, then you have your green drink, and I'm telling you, your appetite will adapt. And you're only doing this for 4 days. Now, here's why this is perfect. At the end of the 4 days, you're finished with the 6 weeks. They have now finished 4 weeks of doing the functional six and training parasympathetic recovery. They have improved their nutrition from going from supportive eating to the caloric stagger, releasing and burning more fat, and then moving into intermittent fasting and reversing and reducing inflammation. They will be a new person. And now what I want you to do is I want you to do a closing assessment, and now you ask them, what would this have been worth? I want you to tell them at this point that you're almost embarrassed how little you charged them. But you did it because you wanted to do something nice. You did this because you care about people. You didn't want price to be a factor. You're seeing such great results, and you wanted to help somebody in need. And just ask them the question, what would this have been worth to you? I promise it will completely change your paradigm. Now, if this sounds complicated, man, it is so much simpler than anything you've been doing. You just have to open up to this. You have to realize what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to charge somebody less than you're worth because we know they're going to pay it and spend an hour a week with them doing what you could do in your sleep. Now, before you actually finish working with this person, I have a feeling that you're going to feel uncomfortable that you only charge them $600. I'm going to guess when you get to week 3, 4, it's going to bother you because you're going to see what's happening. You're going to feel underpaid. You're going to feel a little bit cheated. But think again, this is a contribution in changing your psyche. So before you finish with this person, then I would want you to sign up somebody else for $1,200. It's not going to feel any different. But you're getting twice as much. And then I want you to the third person for $1,800. And I believe that if everyone here is willing to do this and discuss it on the boards, stay connected, coach each other forward, Everybody here will get to $2,400 with 2 months from now. Now, $2,400 may sound like a lot to some of you, but when you put it in perspective, it's only $400 a week over 6 weeks. When we get to that point, when everybody is there, when everybody's saying, this is no problem, because I know when I first told you guys that I was charging $2,500 for the Alive program, you gasped. You were like, oh, I could never charge that. So I'm just showing you how to get there. It's all perspective. You're going to go, $2,400 is nothing. I need to charge more. That's what's going to happen. So when you get to $2,400, which is only $400 a week, then I will work with you to create a structure that allows you to do the same thing with a few additions, but then you're going to ask for a $1,200 deposit and the balance paid over 6 weeks. That takes you to $3,600. So if you're willing to do this starting now, if you're willing to get that first client for $600 between now and the next call and follow through, I'm going to get all of you to arrive at a place where you are comfortably charging $3,600 for a six-week program. If we put a pen to that, $3,600, now that you're charging $3,600, $1,800 is really cheap. It's half price, right? So I would then encourage you to offer a group of four. I'm not even saying a group of 12. A group of four for $1,800. So what you can then offer once you get to that point, I'm looking into the future, is you'll go, if you want to be in the group, it's $1,800. There are going to be three other people in the group. Or you could do this one-on-one with me for $3,600. And this will roll off your tongue, and you'll be such a believer that it will not be an issue, because you're changing your belief. Is there anyone who has an issue with any part of that at all? Tell me how it sounds.
Oh, it sounds great, Phil. I'm still not confident in my circadian eating nutrition.
You will be confident as soon as you start somebody on it. There's nothing that – whatever you're looking for, Tasso, isn't there. It's just 10 days of supportive eating. That you can do, right?
Yeah.
Then you switch to 7 days of the caloric stagger, which means a protein day every other day.
This is a protein day like you describe in Alive?
Yeah. You just remove the starchy carb. They will lose weight on those days. They will feel really good. We're not doing three protein days in a row where they get spaced out. It's a stagger, so they never get spaced out. And they can get on the scale at the end of that week, and they're going to be really happy. And then we take them into intermittent fasting, or a version of it, which is really effective because they find that they can go a long period of time without food, and shockingly, they don't get hungry. And they could eat some pretty big meals in that window. So there's some real magic in the structure of this, but it's not complicated. Okay, silence means what? You guys are sitting there like your jaws are dropped, or you're shaking your head going, there's no way. Or,
it's totally
give me
doable.
Some...
I think it's totally doable. I mean, I don't find the simplicity of it is just, it's just stupid simple. So, I mean, I don't find any issues with it whatsoever.
So, Velma, can you see yourself charging $3,600 for a six-week program and then $1,800 each to four people who are going to do this in a group with you?
Yes. I want to start with the first person because I want to make it believable. I mean, I just want to drive it home. I mean, I believe it right now, but I just want to drive it home. With this little exercise, I think it will really help me.
And let me just give you a little, knowing that we're not stopping at $3,600, and my intention is not to overcharge, my intention is to help you see the value of what you do. If you do what I just said to Velma, four people in a group at $1,800 each and one person $3,600 within a six-week period, the four people in a group generate $7,200. The one-on-one generates $3,600. That's a total of $10,800.
Wow. So I was right from the beginning. Well, not right, but you know what I mean. That's interesting.
Yeah, and simple.
Yeah.
Now, when you look at that, you go, oh, that sounds like a good number, but I'm going to have to work my butt off. No, you're not. We're talking about five people doing a three-hour intake. So that's 15 hours. Then we're talking about 1 hour a week in the one-on-one. So that's an additional 6 hours. And 1 hour a week for the people in the group. So that's an additional 6 hours. So that would be 27 hours for $10,800. That's like $400 an hour. So the question becomes, are you worth it?
Yes.
And worst case, you work in less than 30 hours over 6 weeks. So if you can just get rid of the smoke and listen to what I'm saying, then even your rational mind is going to go, holy shit, this is so fucking simple. What is wrong with me? And I'm going to tell you what is wrong with you. You were brought up as a personal trainer where your value was squashed. So you have those cords and attachments and strings and blockages and smoke. It's not rational. It's just pollution. Tony, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking it sounds good. But somehow, you know, I started to feel more comfortable about it when you started breaking it down.
What do you mean?
When you started talking about this session and this and you know, when you started breaking it down in terms of, you know, in how many times to interface, I started feeling a certain level of comfort, which was, you know, which I was resisting from trying to feel that way about it, but I get it.
Yeah, that's the empath.
Yeah.
Let me give you my time. Right? You give me money, let me give you more of my time. It's not, it has nothing to do with your time.
Yeah. It's the value.
Yeah. And that's why I asked you earlier, I gave a ridiculous example. I said, somebody grew their fingers back, and I said, what if they did it in 6 weeks? You go, it's worth more. Well, yeah. So it's not the time. It's clearly not the time. It's the outcome. All right, any thoughts, comments, questions other than I'm going to do this because I'm really asking you to do this. Between now and our next call, I'd like you to get one client, a stranger, who's going to sign up with you and hand you $600. No payments. It's a ridiculous amount. You want them to write you a check or give you a credit card. You're going to bill them $600 and right away do the three-hour intake. You don't have to think about the program. I just handed it to you. There's no question that it works. Okay, no other thoughts at all?
Hey, I got one thought in ending, Phil.
Okay.
It seems like it's sort of appropriate. The guy that runs Kaiser University over here and does the personal training program, he's an exercise science guy, PhD, so... And he's, you know, I've known him for a long time. So he, you know, they charge like $18,000 for their, you know, personal trainer's course. So I get this text after the hurricanes, and it says, hey, assume you survived the hurricanes, great. Are you still doing personal training? I said, yes. He says, what are you charging? I said, $125 a session unless they have set appointments for the month, $95. He says, you still do half-hour sessions? I said, yes. He says, Big letters. Wow, that's a lot for a half-hour session. I said, when you give clients the value they desire and the results they want, then you can charge what you want to charge because people will pay it. It was like a good on you, you know, like, that motherfucker's overcharging people. This was the tone of it. But I'd sit there and go, here's a guy who's setting the pace for people who want to be personal trainers, charging them out the ass, and he doesn't believe that the product he's selling is worth it.
Right. How much do they charge?
$18,000. I think it's a nine month course.
$18,000?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They get you financing and all that kind of stuff.
Sounds like the parasite to me.
Yep.
Yep.
Because you have to now look at it and you have to say, how long will it take for their graduates
to
earn back
that that's not working.
What they invested? Now,
yep.
If you go to medical school and the answer is 7 years, it may be worth it because at the end of 7 years, you're making $380,000 a year, right? But $18,000 to personal trainers who will end up working at LA Fitness for $12 an hour, it's going to take a really long time to earn back that money. And I'm sure they'll get their one or two golden superstars who they can hold up and go, hey, look at this. He got out and he's earning this much money. But it's a parasitic operation, if you ask me.
Yep, I agree with you.
And I'm sure the curriculum is very good. I'm sure it's better than somebody just taking a weekend workshop. But is it really worth $18,000? You'd have a hard time convincing me it is, unless I really see the income levels of their graduates. So, yeah, I'm not surprised by that, but it is kind of interesting and revealing.
Yep, it is. It's the culture of our industry and what we do, and that's why it's important that we change how and what we do. You know, Phil, you know, I told you over the thing, I did a lot of writing after looking at the, you know, I asked you for the thing. I said, I wrote a thing here. It says, we're rebels in what we're doing. It's revolutionary in what we want to do to blend our practice of exercise to the medical practice of healing people and nutrition. We truly can give people back the prosperity and abundance of life by guiding them through a reversal of the disease process. And that was sort of my opening statement to the next period of time that we have to do our work on. It's sort of like just sort of gathering my thoughts before I start that section, because we are really rebels in what we're doing. We're ushering in a new age of what fitness and health can do to people.
I know, and what I said about the ripple effect earlier is really true. If I can get all you guys aligned to a place where you're starting to not only see how simple it is to ask for the money you deserve, but how powerful the strategy is in getting people well, it doesn't supersede medicine, but it just gets the market to be aware of where the true answer lies. And for people with chronic disease, the answer lies more with us than with conventional medicine. And I'm telling you, it's like I told you, there are these spin-offs of the parasite entity that say, we're going to tell people the truth and drugs aren't good and they're really falling for the drug companies. And they come to this other side and they become empaths and then they go, we're going to tell the truth and we really care. But then they realize they're not making any money. So the only way they can make money is to start to charge for supplements. And then they start to sell these $1,000 monthly supplement packages and they become the parasite. That's why we are in the perfect spot. We're in the middle. But in order to be there, you need to charge appropriately. Otherwise, it doesn't work. If you become the empath, it doesn't work. So you've got to be in a place where you say, I'm telling the truth, I'm delivering value, I'm getting people well, and I'm being compensated. And everyone here has the capability to do that. And I want to say easily, the only thing holding you back is your history of all of the beliefs that you've stored up and developed. And Tasa, when you say it's the culture of our industry, if we look at a history of our industry, it's never truly been an industry. It's getting closer now. I think the personal training franchises helped because they created a true independence for personal trainers free of the health club industry. But the health club industry used personal trainers as the low-paid giveaway for so many years that that became established. And I'm going to tell you that all of the meetings I've had over all of the decades with all of the health club owners, while some of them are making money now with personal training, none of them believe it's important. They believe it's a revenue stream. None of them really put any stock in that their personal trainers are going to deliver results. You have to realize this is an industry that operates being okay with 85% of the people not showing up. So the trainers are a revenue stream, if that. So when you look at the culture, where it came from, it was built around the trainer being disposable. So that's why I say when people came along and created franchises, it allowed trainers to exist as trainers. And people started to now know the term personal training. And they started writing bigger checks. And I think that was really good. But it's still not an industry. So everybody who has come up through that, what you're calling an industry, has had their value squashed. And if you guys recognize that you're victims of that, then you've got to really be very proactive to break out of it, and that's what I'm asking you to do.
When are you going to post this call, Phil?
I'll try to get to it by tonight.
Okay, great.
Okay, I would also ask you guys to go back, and even if you were there live, watch the last webinar, because it's going to give you a lot of material for asking people to give you $600 or what will ultimately be $3,600 or then $6,000. Is I want you to be able to use that stuff, because let's dispel the myth that the medical field used to be good. And we don't do this by putting down the medical field. We do this by helping people kind of put on their thinking caps and go, you're right. The medical field was never good at curing chronic disease because 20 years ago there was no chronic disease epidemic. So it's kind of this interesting fallacy that showed up, that there was a time that the medical field really made people well. Not when it comes to chronic disease. That's a never. The difference is the drug companies just saw a massive opportunity and capitalized on it. But it's not like the medical field went from a place where they used to get people well to a place where they stopped. They never got people well from chronic disease. Never. So I think that helps, because when you're talking to people and they think that you're an option and they think, well, I should really go to my doctor, why would you go to a doctor who has never cured anybody who has what you have? So I want you guys to develop the confidence, because this is factual. I want you to develop the confidence to be able to say that to somebody. Well, because he's a doctor. Of course he's a doctor. You know what that means? He can prescribe medications. That's the difference between him and me. It's not the only difference, but it's one. He can prescribe medications. So if you want medications, know this. They won't help you. So you can go to the doctor who won't help you to get the medications that won't help you, or you can give me $600 and change your life. Which would you choose? So I would encourage you guys to go back and watch that, because that'll give you some real ammunition. This should be so easy. You know, I'm anxious to see the post where you go, I can't believe it. I got somebody at $600. It was ridiculous. It was laughable. Of course I was able to get that. And we're going to get to the point that everybody will feel comfortable. Doesn't mean you have to, but you will feel comfortable charging somebody $6,000 for a six-week program. Not because the value of your time changed, because the outcome is worth it. All right, I'm going to leave you with that. Until we speak again, be better, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.